Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The reason we have the House of Representatives is to give the people a voice, but to make sure that voice can't actually do anything. The House is supposed to be representative of the people, but as far as the founders are concerned, the people of the United States were kind of like the people of Springfield in The Simpsons.
Mr. Wayne was a huge movie star, so it was an exciting thing that he was actually staying at the hotel. But all the excitement didn't last. You see, John was about to experience the first ghost encounter inside the hotel.
It's pretty intuitive that if you're good at school, then you might decide to be a teacher. But if school becomes this place that's very alienating and marginalizing, you won't even think twice about teaching.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with the podcasts we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. It's election day on Start Here, and it's the day for every citizen to do their civic duty and make their voice heard. But why do we have civic duties, and why do they matter? If you're looking for a little refresher on the ins and outs of our complicated political system, look no further than Civics 101. Produced by New Hampshire Public Radio, Civics 101 is your new crash course on all things you learned in high school government class, then promptly forgot. Why do we have an electoral college? How does a congressional investigation work? What the heck is a minority whip? With Civics 101, you can go back to class to learn the answers to these questions and more as you get an in-depth look at how our democracy really works. And in today's turbulent political climate, it's more important than ever to be a competent, informed voter. And with the help of Civics 101, you'll be just that. Here's a recent episode of Civics 101 covering the midterm elections, which are, of course, today. In this episode, with the help of former political staffers, political science professors, and expert analysts, they'll discuss the importance of midterm elections, as well as things to keep in mind about the two similar but very different legislative bodies of our government. In this clip, you'll hear about some of the major differences that distinguish the House from the Senate.
The House of Representatives, the length of term is shorter. It's every 2 years. It's a more frantic place. It takes on a sense of urgency. The Senate, on the other hand, is up every 6 years.
Length of term is a major thing that differentiates the House and the Senate. The next key difference is the number of members. Our current House has 435 members, which are apportioned by state population.
Right.
So like California has 53 congresspeople. We in New Hampshire have two.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate has 102 from each state.
The founders were trying to give the public some power, trying to have some element of democracy. The problem is they didn't trust the people as far as they could throw them.
This is Dan Cassino, political science professor at Fairleigh Dickinson University.
They didn't like the people at all. They even called democracy mobocracy because they didn't like the idea of the people actually running anything. The reason we have the House of Representatives is to give the people a voice, but to make sure that voice can't actually do anything. The House is supposed to be representative of the people, but as far as the founders are concerned, the people of the United States were kind of like the people of Springfield in The Simpsons.
Money!
They're ready to jump on any bandwagon with pitchforks and torches and protest against anything. And we've seen this repeatedly throughout American history. In the early 19th century, we had the first major third party in American politics, the Anti-Masonic Party, a party devoted entirely to a conspiracy theory that Masons were murdering people in upstate New York, dumping the bodies, then Masonically oriented police and judges were covering the whole thing up.
That was their sole platform, not liking the Freemasons.
So mote it be.
That seems a little ridiculous, except those folks, the Anti-Masonic Party, won a bunch of seats in state houses and even won a bunch of seats in the House of Representatives. So why does it matter? Well, the founders saw this. They thought this would happen. So what they did was they made sure the House of Representatives couldn't really do anything. The House of Representatives is subject to the whims of the people. So if you anti-Masonic party's really popular for 2 years, guess what? They can take some seats in the House. But even if they took every seat that was up for them in the Senate, they could never control more than a third of the Senate. The House is there to represent the whims of the people. The Senate is there to make sure that the people can't actually get anything done. Now, that's inefficient, of course, but that's exactly the way the founders set things up. The people can pass whatever they want in the House, and it'll die in the Senate.
Just in time for Election Day, a sample with Civics 101, a political crash course from New Hampshire Public Radio. Get your political knowledge in check. Just in time for today's elections with Civics 101, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. As if politics weren't scary enough, this week's featured addition to the Podcast Central Library will surely spook you. It's called Origin Mysteries, and it's a podcast about the countless mystery stories that populate our history. Origin Mysteries brings you some of the best crime, urban legend, and paranormal stories around for a show that's as frightening as it is fun. The common thread? The mysteries surrounding these stories and their origins are still very real and very unsolved. You'll hear about the world's most haunted forest, a Toys R Us with a mysterious past, killer next-door neighbors, and more, as Origin Mysteries leads you down a path of secrets and intrigue. Episodes are published weekly and feature two stories, so you'll never run out of mysteries that need solving. In this recent episode of Origin Mysteries titled The Monte Vista Hotel and the Suburban Axe Murderer, the episode features another two scary stories, this time about a haunted hotel and a suburbanite that come unhinged. In this snippet, you'll hear the history of the hotel that became a site of haunting and horror.
The hotel was set to have 73 rooms, with a local post office built right inside. It opened for business on New Year's Day in 1927, going by the name the Community Hotel, in honor of those who contributed to it being built. The name Monte Vista came from a naming contest, in which a 12-year-old won, naming it the Monte Vista, meaning Mountain View. This hotel houses a lot of history for the state of Arizona. In 1929, it held the second female-ran radio station in the world, which was ran by Mary Costigan. KFXY aired 3 hours a day and was a huge success. On its opening day, more than 400 residents showed up to listen to the broadcast. A few other historic moments were having one of the first self-service Otis elevators and housing the only gambling machines to ever set foot in Arizona. Some of the darker moments of the hotel's history start with the hidden tunnels that go from Northern Arizona University up through downtown Flagstaff. Businesses, including the Weatherford Hotel, Babbitt's Backcountry, and Monte Vista, have access to these basement tunnels. Rumored to have been created by Chinese immigrants after their cooking and cleaning practices allegedly caused one of the largest fires in Arizona's history that caused a lot of damage to the city. After the fire, the Chinese used them in order to get around town without being harassed by the townspeople. Now the tunnels are used for storage and piping, but throughout the years, many strange things have been discovered, including opium dens and moonshine distilleries. In 1931, the cocktail lounge inside the hotel, which was the first speakeasy in the state of Arizona, was breached by police, and a major bootlegging operation was discovered and successfully shut down, only to be reopened when Prohibition was ended in 1933. It wasn't until the 1940s and 50s when the first ghost was spotted. Back then, westerns were the most popular kinds of movies in Hollywood, and most were made in nearby Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon. Because of this, many famous movie stars chose the Monte Vista to stay at. Actors including Jane Russell, Gary Cooper, Spencer Tracy, Bing Crosby, and John Wayne. At that time, Mr. Wayne was a huge movie star, so it was an exciting thing that he was actually staying at the hotel. But all the excitement didn't last. You see, John was about to experience the first ghost encounter inside the hotel.
A snippet from the podcast Origin Mysteries, a new addition to the Podcast Central Library, so go get your scare on. Our local podcast, Look, comes to you this week from Miami University's College of Education, Health, and Society. It's called Reframe, and it's a podcast that set a goal to promote and accelerate ways to achieve positive social change by highlighting how the contributions of Miami students, faculty, and alumni are transforming our world. Reframe connects topics as varied as teaching and learning and diversity and equality and health and civic engagement in order to give you as a listener the most tools possible to have a positive impact in your lives. You'll hear from faculty, staff, and students with a wide variety of backgrounds and perspectives and learn just how many ways there are to make a difference in the world. And with over 40 episodes so far, it's clear there's no shortage of great ideas. So let's take a listen to a sample of Reframe from the episode Learning to Unlearn, How We Think About Teaching and Schooling. The episode dives into the changing world of education, exploring what it means to be an educator in today's world and what it'll mean in the future. In this snippet, you'll hear from some educators that are involved in a new project that challenges what it could mean or even should mean to be a teacher today.
So why do some students hate school? Why is school not working? One reason, in part, is that traditional schooling often prioritizes the needs and interests of certain students while ignoring or underserving others. When considering students across race, class, gender, and orientation, many public schools still abide a system that unintentionally reinforces an array of inequitable cultural biases. Non-white students, for example, who don't see themselves reflected in the curriculum, can find it hard to relate to or engage with the content. In other cases, some learners may fall behind in classrooms that stress memorization and standardization over curiosity, active participation, and a kind of personalized engagement that they may otherwise need. And when viewed through a critical lens, these trends start to tell a story. It's a story about who gets included, who gets excluded, and why. And this can start to have big implications for the future of schools, especially when considering those who may be attracted to the teaching profession. Here's Dr. Scott Sander, EHS clinical faculty instructor and CAP team leader.
It's pretty intuitive that if you're good at school, then you might decide to be a teacher. But if school becomes this place that's very alienating and marginalizing, you won't even think twice about teaching.
And this is a problem that both EDT 190, that introductory course to education, and the forthcoming CAP project are designed to address. Both reflect the EHS mission to create transformative leaders and to challenge students to become critically conscious curriculum makers. Both are also about recognizing a need to update the standard K-12 educational system by exposing future educators to new ways of thinking about teaching, learning, and schooling. The goal is to get new teachers to better understand how to engage all kinds of different students, especially those who have been alienated in some way. Sanders sees much of the class as an unlearning process, and it involves breaking down and critically exploring many of the cultural assumptions and common narratives that most students have been told about schooling throughout most of their lives. Throughout the class, Sander wants students to thoughtfully consider the historical context of school, the philosophy behind education, what it means to actually quote-unquote learn, and why embracing diversity through culturally relevant teaching can actually help marginalized students succeed. It's a progressive approach, one that diverges from most introductory teacher preparation courses. Here, the very basic fundamentals of teaching are not about creating lesson plans. It's not about grading papers or learning how to make tests. It's a class where students can begin thinking about the fundamental role of teachers, as well as the past, present, and future purposes of schooling in general.
A sample of the local podcast Reframe, a production of Miami University's College of Education, Health, and Society. You can hear how Miami is changing the world and how you can too with Reframe. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go. A look at the Apple Podcast charts via iTunescharts.net. Well, as predicted, the podcast we previewed last week has rocked the charts, as its actual episodes have now been made available for a week. Bagman, a podcast about Vice President Spiro Agnew, tells the story about an American vice president who carried out criminal enterprises inside the White House while nobody's paying attention. It's a story that's not well known, but it probably should be. And thanks to podcasting, it will now be. That's Bagman, number one on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.